we come here on this beautiful Sunday morning to praise the name of Jesus Christ and to gather together to worship our God. The church is the body of Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. He is the head of the church, and He purchased the church with His own blood. And each and every time we come together, we seek to honor Him and to remember Him and to praise His name, the name of Jesus Christ, because the day is coming when every knee, every tongue will confess and every knee bow that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there are going to be those in that day that have never named the name of Jesus Christ and who right now today are seeking to do everything they can to silence His name and to deny His teachings. And yet those same individuals are going to bow before Him and confess His name. But we're trying to do that today. We are come together to honor Him and to praise the name of Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful and so happy that you have come to join us in that this morning. It's a pleasure to have with us Burke and Joanne Womack. Once again, Burke was telling me that it was 7 years ago that they moved down to Ording, south of here. And we miss them a great deal, and they worship where our daughter Julie and Jeremy worship, and see them a lot, but we haven't been able to see them very often. We're really glad to see them here this morning, and we're glad to have Fred and Kathy Woodside, Karen's sister and brother-in-law, that we are having a nice visit with them. They're from Decatur, Alabama. And this afternoon, we're driving over to Silverdale on the Olympic Peninsula to see Karen and Kathy's mother and spend a couple of nights over there. So we're really enjoying a nice visit with them. It's always a pleasure to get together with them and look forward to sharing some memories and some stories over there. And I really look forward to spending time with Fred studying the Bible together, because that's usually what we do, and it's always a joy when we have that opportunity to come together. But as I say, I'm really glad that you're all here this morning, and I'd like to invite your attention in the reading of God's Word in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, beginning with verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 down through verse 21. So I'll begin reading there. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." The Apostle Paul here is talking about the Christian life, living the Christian life. And as he begins this part of Ephesians here, he's talking about living worthy, walking worthy of the calling with which we have been called to be followers of Jesus Christ, walking worthy of that calling. And when the Apostle Paul used the term walking in this way, he means living your life in a certain way, in a certain manner. And there are a number of keys to that he lays out here, that we should walk in love, And at the beginning of chapter 5, he made the point that we need to be imitators of God as his children and walk as he has taught us. He has loved us. He has given his son as to die for our sins. We need to show that we imitate him. We live in love also. He also talks about the fact that we need to not walk in the darkness, but walk in the light. And there is a contrast between who we are as Christians, that we walk in the light, and those around us who are not in Christ, who are living in the world, according to the world, walking in the darkness. So there should be a difference that should be very evident in each one of our lives to those around about us who are not the followers of Jesus Christ. But as he comes here to verse 15, he begins to talk about the fact that we need to be living a life of wisdom. A life of wisdom. And we want to discuss and think about what that really means, to live a life of wisdom this morning. You know, today we are living in a world that is the most educated of any culture in the history of the world. And yet our culture is coming apart at the seams. It is falling apart. And the first thing that we should understand when we think about wisdom is that knowledge and wisdom are two different things. The Bible makes a clear distinction between knowledge and wisdom. Because wisdom is learning to live your life with the skill of as seeing life as God sees life, from his point of view. And it is the ability and the skill to apply knowledge properly. So we might think of we're living in a very sophisticated time, but there's a great lack of wisdom being shown today. We have a lot of data. We have access to the internet. We can look up amazing information is at our fingertips. And yet, where is the wisdom that we should be living our lives with skill, with understanding of the will of God, and reflecting that in the choices of the daily lives that we are living? So this is why the scriptures distinguish clearly between knowledge and wisdom. And wisdom is a beautiful thing. Wisdom is a precious thing. In the Bible, when the Old Testament uses the term wisdom, it is a Hebrew word, chokmah, which it means skill in life. It is a skill that a person has acquired that is valuable, that renders something of value. Now, it could be something in terms of a skill such as being a craftsman. Because, for example, when Moses in the wilderness, they were ready to build the tabernacle as a worship center for the people of Israel, they found and the Lord called these two men that were filled with wisdom and skill and filled with the Spirit of God, that they were able to be craftsmen of building some of the furniture of the tabernacle. So it's a skill of life. But in terms of wisdom, it's the skill of living your life in the way that pleases God, that glorifies God. That's wisdom. Wisdom is living your life to honor God, to glorify God, and to understand his will and his knowledge and put that into practice consistently in our lives. The book of Proverbs is one of the great books of the Bible that we can go to gain wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, it teaches us that there are two paths in life that we can follow. There's the path of wisdom, the way of wisdom, but the other side of the coin, there is the way of folly, and that is the way of a fool. So the Bible says in Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in life, we choose either the way of wisdom or the way of the fool. And if a person denies God, if a person is not honoring God in their life, it goes without saying they are living the life of a fool. And there is no middle ground in that. The Bible is clear that it's going to be one or the other. So it's such a crucial thing to choose wisdom in your life and to understand and know the will of God, and not only just have it as a knowledge in your mind, but it is something that you practice consistently in your life because you know it is true, because it is practically of value to you to gain that skill of living a life, a beautiful life that is reflecting the wisdom of God. King Solomon, when he was just a young man, beginning to be king or about to become king, after his father David was passed away, God came to him and said, Solomon, ask what you would desire for that I give you as you become the king of Israel. And Solomon made a wise choice. He said, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. And that, I believe, shows a key to wisdom right there. That wisdom is the ability to discern between right and wrong, to discern between good and evil. And God, of course, blessed that decision of Solomon, because how many people today, if God came to them and asked them and gave them that choice, they would have thought of many other things beside that. They might have thought of, well, could I have the winning of the lottery, or could I have a new car or a vacation or something like that? And yet King Solomon, he said, I would like to have you give me an understanding heart that I may judge your people and that I may discern between good and evil. That really is the key to wisdom then, is understanding good and evil, choosing to do what is right in the sight of God. In the New Testament, the Greek word sophia is a word that really carries the idea living godly, living God's will in your life. And it is a wisdom that comes from above. It is not the wisdom of this world. It is the wisdom that we receive from God to guide us in living our lives. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing in the 1 Corinthians letter, chapter 1, he talked about this a lot, is that the wisdom of Christ is foolishness to the world. He says this, he said, since in the wisdom of God the world, through wisdom, did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So the wisdom of the world did not envision Christ dying on the cross to save us, mankind, from our sin. It seemed foolish to them, a message like that. And yet, that's the wisdom of God. That is what God has revealed to us, His plan for our salvation. And that is the wisdom of God that is so much above the wisdom of man and the intellectuals and the scribes and the teachers and men of knowledge in our world today. They often reject the wisdom of God. But we recognize this as the way of life that God has directed us to. And he says in verse 30 of that, he says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." I'd like us to spend most of our time this morning in this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul really teaches us how to live a life of wisdom and to walk in wisdom in our lives. Beginning in verse 15, then, we turn back and look at this verse again, and we see that he begins by saying, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And I want to start by saying that we need to live a diligent life. We need to live a careful life. We need to be very observant of those things happening around us. And we need to walk carefully and circumspectly. The word circumspectly is a word that is two words combined. But the first part of the word, it means around. It's the word circumference or the circle. And the second word, speckly, it comes from the word to look, as being a spectator or wearing spectacles or to inspect something. So this word, it means to walk looking around. In other words, walk observantly. And every step that we take it carefully. Almost as if you were walking through a minefield. And any step that you take could blow up in your face. That's how living in the world that we live in today, we have to be diligent to walk carefully and live our life with wisdom. Not as fools, but as wise. And as we think about this, we understand here that the Bible tells us that the way of a fool is there is no God. Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You see, that opens the door to I now have freedom to live my life as I choose. I do not want to hear the will of God. I do not want to hear about right and wrong, morality. I have my own thoughts on all of these things. And I want to be independent. I want to be free. The Bible says that is the way of the fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. See, he's not saying there is a God. It's obvious. And I want to know his will for my life. I see the beauty of his creation. It could not have happened by accident. And therefore, it's a foregone conclusion. There is a God. And I am going to seek out and find his will and follow his will. Because he is a God of order. He is a God of power. He is a God of wisdom. He has a purpose for my life. And so when a person comes to the understanding that, yes, there is a God, and God created me for a purpose, and I'm going to seek to follow his will, now we can begin to live a life of wisdom. But many people do not do this. Many people reject that. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible said that although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And these were the Greek Roman society of the first century and the Roman Empire. It was a sophisticated society of that day, but they knew God, but they did not honor Him as God, and therefore their hearts were darkened. They became fools. Sad, but true, of so much of that society and culture there of the first century. So the Apostle Paul is saying that we need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk carefully. We need to be looking around constantly, watching what we are getting ourselves into, the choices that we are about to make. Now, it can be said that before any of us became Christians, we lived foolish lives. We did many things that were foolish. The Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 through 6, he said, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." Now that is a foolish way of life, but before we became Christians, if we think back, we could all identify that as some of the things we did as young people. We did a lot of foolish things. And then we found out about Christ and we were saved by God, and His will for our life changed us, completely changed the people that we are. And yet, it's no guarantee that we continue to make those choices of wisdom. Because even though you and I are Christians, does not mean that we cannot go out and do foolish things still today and make choices in our lives that we ought to know better. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" Here they were. These were the Galatians. They were Christians. They were converted by the Apostle Paul. And yet he is now reprimanding them. And he is showing them that why is it that they have been saved by the grace of God through Jesus dying for their sins on the cross? Why are they listening to people like the Judaizing teachers who have come and saying, in order for them to be saved, they must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses all over again? Foolish Galatians, he's saying. Why are you turning away, not obeying the truth in your life? So that is something that can happen to us as well. Yes, we have been saved, but we can still be led astray. And we can be making foolish choices. That is why he is saying here in Ephesians chapter 5, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." He's writing to people who are Christians, and yet he has to warn them to be careful in living their lives, even though they now know Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9 and 10, he said, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." So these lack of wisdom, or even though we might have the knowledge of Christ, we can still be drawn into foolish and hurtful and destructive ways of thinking and living our lives. So we have to be diligent. We have to be constantly careful in looking and observing what is taking place and living wisely in this world that we live in today. And secondly, we must have a disciplined life. And by that I mean what it says here in verse 16. He says, walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The Apostle Paul is saying that we need to be redeeming the time. He makes a very similar statement to this in the book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 5. And he said, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Now, the word that the Apostle Paul is using here is the word kairos in Greek. And this word is different from the word chronos. There are two different words for time in the Greek language. And chronos is the type of time that we often think of, that time is in a chronological sequence of order. What time is this? What day is it? How many days is it until, you know, we go on this trip that we are planning? That's chronos. But the Apostle Paul is saying, redeeming the time in this other sense, which is a set period of time. He's talking about the time that God has allotted us to live here in this world. From our birth to our death. And we only have so much time, in other words, to live and serve God. And as a result of that, we need to redeem the time. We need to buy it up from vanity and from foolishness and wasting our time that God has given us. We only have a certain amount of time. And every day that God gives us, we need to use that to honor Him and to glorify Him in the way of the how we use the time that we are allowed to live here in this world. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, the psalmist here, Moses, wrote this. He said, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet they're still very brief, he's saying. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So, redeeming the time that God allows us to live in this life, make every opportunity, make it count for God, because it's soon going to be over. Our life is moving at such a rapid pace. And just like I was saying with Burke, how long was it, Burke, you guys moved down to Ording? He said that was 7 years ago. Well, it just seemed like, wow, 7 years has come and gone so quickly. And before we know it, our life is going to be over. So God teaches us to redeem the time. Every day that God gives you, be thinking of it as, this is another day that God has given me. How am I going to use it to the best opportunity to honor Him and prepare for the time when my life is going to be over? And I'm going to give an account. I'm going to stand before Him. Our life also is to be a directed life. He says in verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And many times people struggle with this, and they say, how do we know what God's will is for my life? How do I find that? How do I understand? Does God have a plan for me? Does He have a purpose for my life? Does He have a way that He wants to use me and can use me to the full of His service? And I think one of the keys of this is our attitude towards our life. And in Psalm 37 and verse 4, the psalmist there, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. What he's saying here is that if you and I, if we will delight ourselves in the Lord, God will open up and give us desires that then will be pleasing to Him, and then He can direct us and use us in His service. But first we have to delight ourselves in the Lord. He's not suggesting here that just follow the desires of your heart, like many people are saying today, that I'm going to do my will, my life. This is my truth. This is my identity of who I want to be. That's not what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart, because your desires are going to become His desires. And then you will begin to see, now I understand what the Lord's will is for my life. I didn't understand that before, but now the Lord, my desires are coming in line with His desires, and God is going to show how He can use me and the talents and the abilities that He has blessed me with. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul there says, and I know we're all familiar with this verse, very familiar, but he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is the will of God that we need to understand here. He's saying, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And it is that we become a living sacrifice. We dedicate our lives to God. And we begin to understand what His will for our lives is. And serving in His kingdom, growing in His word, loving those around us, and developing friendships and relationships that we can have an influence of bringing them to know the Lord. Those things are all part of the will of God. And in John 7 and verse 17, he said that if anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So we have to have an attitude of wanting to know the will of the Lord, wanting to turn our life in that direction, to honor Him, to follow His will that He can make known to us. Lastly, this morning, though, I want to suggest that the power that God gives us to live a life of wisdom does not come from within ourselves. He says here in chapter 5, verse 18, he says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The life that we are to live then, he says, we are to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. And in living your life, thinking about the choices that we have to make can seem almost overwhelming if we do not have confidence that the key to this is allowing God to direct my life, surrendering to His will. And God has promised us that we can be controlled and directed and influenced by the Spirit rather than the things of this life. Like, for example, wine. So be not drunk with wine, in which is excess. Obviously, we can see that a person who is under the influence of wine is a different person. Wine and alcohol filling you, you become drunken and you are a different person. But he says, instead of that, be filled with the Spirit and see the life that you now are able to live, singing praises to God, just like we have done this morning, lifting up our voices in song and giving glory and praise to God, gathering around the Lord's table, reading and studying His Word together, giving thanks to Him for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. These are the ways in which our life can be filled and controlled and directed by the Lord rather than in our own selfishness. We are going to be controlled and directed by things like wine and other things that can be very addictive and controlling to us. A key to this in John 7:37 is that we have a thirst. We have a thirst for living for the Lord. Jesus said in John 7, verse 37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But Jesus was making a promise here that the Spirit of God would be coming and would be given to those who surrender their lives to Him. And when we are filled with the Spirit and filled with the truth of God and directed, then the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our life: love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And those are divine attributes and qualities that we begin to produce or produced within our own lives. In 1 John 5 and verse 14, he said, and I think this is very encouraging, he said, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. Is it your desire then to live a life pleasing to God? Is it your will to know His will and make that will your life? To be able to live your life with the wisdom of skill of knowing how to make right choices so that we do not constantly get ourselves into spiritual danger by not making wise, careful choices of how we are going to live our lives. When we ask God to help us in this, God promises that He will help answer those prayers and give us that ability to live a life that is pleasing to Him. James says the same thing in James chapter 1 and verse 5. He said that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This morning, as we conclude this lesson, I want to just invite each of you to understand and know that you can live a life of wisdom, and that the opposite of that is to live the life of a fool. Do not base your choices of your life on what you see happening around us today. Do not get your ideas on how to live your life from the internet or from your favorite television talk show. We must go to God's Word to understand the will of the Lord. And God will unfold that for us. He will help us to grow in living a life that is pleasing to Him. And it can be a beautiful, productive, abundant life that will bring joy to us and will bring fruit to God as He blesses the life that you are living. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song this morning. If there is anyone here today that needs to respond to the invitation of Jesus, if you will come forward, if you will let it be known how we can assist you, we would love to do that. So we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
I'd like to stay here longer than that, a lot of days, and watch the fleeting.